Good evening and welcome to Glacier View Community Council debate. Soon we'll be having election for the Borough Assembly. We have two people running for the Assembly. One is the incumbent, Jim Sykes, and one is Brian Endel, who is another candidate. So we have two candidates tonight. This is a debate. It's moderated by Helga. And we have 12 questions that I've vetted from the community. I sent out like 25 emails asking people for questions, collated questions, condensed them down to some of them just into the same question. Neither candidate has seen the questions. And the way it will work tonight is that we're going to have introductions by Helga. We'll have a 60-minute debate with a question. So one of the candidates will flip the coin. One of the candidates will be asked a question. You'll have 30 seconds. The other candidate will then have 60 seconds for rebuttal or reply. And then the first candidate, if they want, can make a rebuttal to that. So question, rebuttal, rebuttal. We're going to toss the coin. At the end of 60 minutes, we may not get through 12 questions. Typically, these things, each question, even though there's 30 seconds to answer, it takes a while to get to them. At the end of 60 minutes, we will then end on whatever question that they're in. They'll finish their sequence, but we will not ask more questions. Then each candidate will have the opportunity to speak for 2 minutes. So when we flip the coin, heads will go to who gets the first question. That means the other candidate will automatically get the first ending closing statement. That's how it works. It's a particular debate format, and there's lots of formats. I need to pick one. It's one that Rotary uses in Anchorage and seems to work. At the end of after the final statements by the candidates, we will formally close the meeting and we will then have an open time. Stand up, walk around, meet the candidates, ask them all the questions that we forgot or weren't answered during the debate. It is a debate. You're debating issues. It's not a platform statement time, although I'm sure that will be expressed in your answers. So let's get on with the debate. Thank Helga for this. And by the way, we are streaming live over Radio Free Palmer. And great. So
those mics can work with their 2 foot away, or they need to.
Those mics are right by their mouths. They're just fine. So some people are harder of hearing. So speak up.
So let us know if you can't hear. Okay.
Yeah, I'd like a witness. Let's come and witness this coin toss. So
that, I have to lean in, I guess.
So that it's a fair coin toss. So how are we going to do this? Brian, you're the challenger. Why don't you call it in the air?
Sure.
Is that okay?
Sure.
Okay. So the heads goes first, gets the first question. By the way, the first two questions, so one will get question one, one will get question two, are lighthearted questions meant to get us into the routine of the question and answer. So, ready? You're going to call it.
Heads.
Heads, you start. And you start the final after the debate. And I'll keep recording.
Okay, so I haven't done this before, so bear with me if I'm not perfect at this, okay? The very first question would be for Mr. Endel. And the question is, what was the biggest fish you ever caught, where and how?
The biggest fish I ever caught would have to be a shark in Valdez. And pulled him in with a, felt like a 300-pound bull, but I pulled it in with a regular fishing pole.
Okay, the next question is...
Excuse me? Do you have a rebuttal?
Absolutely. That's ridiculous.
You want a rebuttal on that? Give me a break.
Give him his...
Well, that's my only shot at it, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. I'm sorry.
Well, on June 1st, they opened the King Fishery on the Desco River.
Oh, yeah, that's your rebuttal. Go ahead, sir.
Yes.
My name is Jim Sykes, for those who don't know me. I got up to the Desco River on June 1st. I have never caught a king. I've been fishing a lot in Alaska, and my wife and I do the personal use dip netting. But I was the first one to catch a fish early in the morning, about 7 o'clock. Nice, beautiful water. And this king was... No, it was... Anyway, it depends on the camera angle. I was urged by the fishing guide to hold it out from my body in front. And it was hard to hold up. So it was. I know it was pretty big, but it's the biggest king I've ever caught, and it's the biggest fish I've ever caught, too. So it was a lot of fun. And after I left that fishery, they reopened the king fishery to 5 fish. And I'd already been there, and the limit was 1. And the day before that, the limit was 0. So I'm good.
Okay.
That signifies 5 seconds remaining.
Oh, thank you.
Okay, the next question is, what is the best hat you ever have worn, and why? Mr. Sykes?
The best hat I have ever worn. Well, actually, I think it's the assembly hat, but if you're talking about a physical hat, I had a really great rain hat that also served as a fishing hat, and it was a kind of a cow cloth cowboy hat, and you could actually stick the hooks right in the hat, so you didn't have to go and get your tackle box every time you lost a hook.
Mr. Endel?
Thank you. The best hat I ever wore was my John Moose hat. I really like it. It's a mimic of a John Deere, but I do have a John Deere tractor. I really like it. But I've worn many hats in life, and some being a missionary, others working at MTA, and being a husband, and so forth. So, and now running for assembly.
Okay, I think we're going to switch back and forth. So the next question gets serious now. Mr. Sykes.
No,
Ms. Rendell.
Right.
No, he did this, but I'm sorry. I'm sorry if I'm...
It's not wrong.
Okay, in view of the declining revenue sharing from the state of Alaska, how will you support economic development in the borough? What actions will you take?
Well, look at the $5.7 million deficit that got passed to the borough, and... I look first at one of the biggest costs is salaries, and we can use attrition. That's one way. Another way would be to look at the way we do things and to cut back on unnecessary functions. Cut back on unnecessary functions and bring transparency. I'll explain that later.
Okay. Mr. Sykes?
Well, when I think of economic development, I think more of the private sector. Certainly the government sector is important because they tend to do things that the private sector doesn't, like roads and schools and things of that nature. But I think we have two real bright spots. One is tourism, and anything that we do for the tourists who visit is probably going to benefit us, and that's all to the good. And we have a tremendous opportunity in the medical field. It's not only medical education, it's medical care, elder care, and all of the things that go with that. And it's really a pretty important economic driver. The other thing that we also have is energy. It's called energy efficiency. And so if you improve your house or your business, you get energy efficiency from that, save money, hire more people. It's about a 5-way win situation. So we have a lot of potential in that particular area, and I think that we're doing it.
Okay, next question.
Excuse me, you can have a 30-second rebuttal.
Yeah.
So I spoke about getting rid of unnecessary functions. For instance, I got into politics when the borough community councils worked with the planning department to zone us, but they didn't tell us about it. as they should have. So, you know, when they're pushing forward an agenda which we don't need, or the people don't want, I should say, that's one way to cut back, because that's unnecessary resources being spent on something we don't need.
Mr. Sykes, do you have a rebuttal?
No, that's it. Question, answer.
Rebuttal. Okay. So, but the next question would be for Mr. Sykes. How do you view the role of local community councils in the borough government? What has been your experience in working with community councils?
Well, I certainly think the community councils are an important voice. I actually helped start one of them, and Chase. But it really is an opportunity for the community to come together and problem solve. It is advisory to the borough. Anything that community council wants to do for themselves or express to the borough, it's their opportunity to have a voice and not just leave the decisions to the borough or the state or the federal government, which may have a say in it. So I think it's one of the most important things we can do.
Mr. Andale?
I do believe that community councils are important, especially bringing the advisory information to the assembly. I got involved with our community council, as I said before, when they were working to zone us there, and we didn't want it. So one thing that I see in that is the community councils are important for advisory, and they're also important for controlling what happens in the community, especially when you talk about the important things that happen, like zoning and so forth.
Did you want to say anything?
Yeah, sure. Well, you know, that's the neat thing about a community council, because you have the flexibility to do that kind of planning or not to do it. And some community councils create a comprehensive plan, and sometimes people take a next step and they create a special use district, and some don't. But at least it provides a process. And during my 3 years, I've seen this community come together and use the community council they established to fight DNR, and two other community councils have actually completed comp plans, and I've seen those communities come together as a result.
Okay, the next question would be, what are your top two agenda items if elected? How will you act to accomplish these goals? Mr. Endel.
Budget, number one, and free transparency, and how to act, as I said before, basically to cut back the things we don't need, to reduce the budget in areas such as the wages and salaries, especially where it's unnecessary to use functions to do certain things. And then transparency, basically to tell people about the things that are happening in the borough.
Mr. Sykes, rebuttal?
I think the top two priorities are the same ones I've had before. They are education and emergency services. Those are things that everybody seems to want, and we've made sure to fully fund those, and I want to continue to do that. I also have been the one who's been the budget hawk in charge of transparency. The borough budget wasn't online when I got there. It is now. We have a graphics tool called open.gov that helps work with the budget. And so I've laid a foundation to where we can now go and build on that foundation in these tough economic times. And it's time to have each of the divisions publicly present their budget to the manager in public, so that everybody can understand what it is that the borough does and how we spend the money on it. And I think that hasn't been done for probably 20 or 30 years. And now is the time, because I believe we have to make cuts in these tough times. And I really have been the only one pushing for the strategic plan that I believe this borough needs, because they didn't have one since 2012.
Mr. Andel?
Speaking to transparency, when I got involved in the community council, they really didn't tell us about the things that were going on. So I wanted to inform the people. And one of the ways that I wanted to do that is when I was invited to be on the Planning Commission, I was also able to try to move something forward. And that was to mail out to people when the planning department wanted to zone us. That was one thing that I was working on.
Okay, the next question is...
Speak into the mic.
Next question is for Mr. Sykes. What is one of your greatest collaborative efforts in supporting local residents in the borough during a conflict or challenging event?
Well, recently, when I was president of the Lazy Mountain Community Council, we had a commercial radio station move in that wanted a 200-foot tower, and they basically came to the community council and said, "Hey, you know, we don't have to get your permission. We're just going to do this, and so you know, we're telling you." And that didn't go down well, so we worked with them, and we now have a tower that's only half as tall as they wanted it. They've got a great radio station, and the community solved it, and I think that was a good thing.
Mr. Andel?
In our community council, the biggest challenge we had was to basically bring the community together and to have them come together for a vote on whether or not we want zoning in our area. And the consensus overall was that we did not want that. And so getting those people together, moderating that as community council president, and letting the vote come forward, that was a key to some of the things that we did. And we turned down the zoning, we changed the bylaws, and we replaced the community council board all in 1 year.
Mr. Sykes?
Well, the other big thing that I think was the most meaningful to me was the Chase Community Council. We worked on a comp plan for 5 years as an advisory committee, and we had about 4 different sides to every question, but we resolved almost every single one of those. And people came and resolved them. The Chase plan still stands today. It's been challenged once and stood up. The difference is that I believe the community council needs to be a living thing. And unfortunately, Brian, when he became the president, actually killed the community council by hoisting the quorum to 60 people, and it hasn't met for 2.5 years. And so that community has lost its voice.
Okay, the next question is for Mr. Andel.
Mike?
Can you hear me, sir? Yell at me.
I think you gotta have your mouth about 3 inches.
Okay, I'm gonna scoot up.
Yeah, I'm gonna move this so that we can move the mic for you. There you go.
That base is so wide, Joseph.
I know, it's just.
Go right.
Okay.
Okay, is this better? Can you hear me now?
Better.
Okay, good. And this is for Mr. Andel. Glacier View is located far from the borough core. Residents sometimes feel that we don't see a lot of return for our property tax dollars. As an assembly person, how will you support better services for the residents of the Glacier View area?
I guess the one thing that I would do is work to maintain low property taxes and not pursue increasing the taxes. And that way, whatever services that we have, to try to make those, what we're doing, more efficient in providing the services that we have here.
Mr. Sykes, can you please rebut?
Sure. Of the past 10 years, the property tax rate area-wide is now lower than it was for at least half of those 5 years, so we've kept taxes low. The thing about your remote capabilities here, you're already pretty self-sufficient. So what I've done is support the EMS services. That's one of the most important things this community council has done, is emphasize safety and EMS services. I've been to every single one of the EMS picnics during the summertime, and it's education. I as an assembly member, voted for full funding of the schools, and I think this is one of the core things that you've got here in your community that's one of the most valuable things. So. The limited services that you do have, I also want to make sure you keep your dumpster here. And I think that's, I hope you consider recycling too, because any trash you don't have to put in the dump is going to be good. And several other communities have started that. So those are the kind of services that I think that you have. And I have started a community services, community study, so you'll know what you get for your taxes.
Mr. Andel, would you like to add something to it?
One thing is during the, when my opponent was in office, assessments went up 5.7%. The tax rate may not have increased, but the assessments went up 5.7%. The other thing, during my community council, I worked really hard and went door to door to get people to that meeting. The quorum was set high because people voted for that, and they had the choice to vote for that. And I was the moderator, not a pusher of anything.
Okay. The next question would be for Mr. Sykes. In light of the state's current economic situation, how will this affect the ability of the borough to provide services such as schools and other services?
Well, it's going to affect just about everything. The $5.7 million veto that the governor did was for reimbursement of school debt. And so it's about 4% of our taxpayer-based budget. So if you were missing 4% of your budget, you'd either decide to cut some things out, or you might decide to get a second job or a part-time job or something. That's what we have to look at. Fortunately for the borough, we've kept it in good financial shape. Our bond rating is not in the toilet like the state's is. We've got a very good fiscal rating, and it's because we've kept our reserves at about 22.5%, which is very, very healthy.
Mr. Endel, would you like to rebut?
Could you repeat the question, please?
Okay, the question was, in light of the state's current economic situation, how will this affect the ability of the borough to provide services such as schools and other services?
The schools schools and other services such as transportation are very important to the borough, and any decrease in the budget is going to affect the way we do business. But I think we need to put those things at a priority. I think we need to reorganize some of the way we do business as a borough to make us more efficient so that we can handle this economic downturn.
Thank you.
I would like to say that I think we've got, it's my rebuttal,
yes,
isn't it?
Yes, it is, it's certainly. Right. You beat me to the punch.
Okay. We have capital already. The manager has recommended halting almost all capital projects and stopping transportation, travel budget. So that in itself has taken care of about $3 million of the $5.7 million cut. And the efficiency that I think that we're going to get is through these public hearings. For example, the finance department, I believe, is going to show some efficiencies because so much of that is now automated. And that's why I want everything out in public so people can understand exactly what it is that we spend money on.
Okay, the next question would be for Mr. Endel. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I know somebody by the name of Endel.
Yeah,
it's real hard to remember. Tell us about the homeless youth in the borough. How will you address this issue?
Can you say that again?
Tell us about the homeless youth in the borough.
Youth.
Oh, youth. Homeless.
Kids.
Yeah.
Okay.
How will you address this issue?
Well, the homeless youth in the borough would be best addressed by faith-based organizations. I believe that's the role that they would take. Now, as far as the borough goes, the borough already has its functions for infrastructure and schools and so forth. So that's where I would stand on that.
Mr. Sykes, would you like to rebut?
Certainly. Well, I think it's going to take a lot more than the faith-based community. It's going to take a lot more than what the borough has to offer because it is a pretty big problem. We have an enormously high amount of kids that are couch surfing. And it's affecting the education system because many families have one parent. Sometimes the other parent is in treatment or sometimes in jail, and that is a very, very high figure as well. And so when you have this situation, it affects the kids' school performance, it affects what they're able to do, how they're able to travel, and it does directly affect the school system and the opportunities that kids have. So it has to be a partnership, and I think that that's what we've learned. I attended Senator Sullivan's drug conference that we just had in Wasilla. And it's bigger than all of us. So it's education, prevention, and treatment. But we also have to think about law enforcement. And people are starting to talk about a sheriff's department or enhancing and actually starting a borough police force or hiring the troopers to do more.
Mr. Endel, would you rebut on that?
I'm actually going to let my first statement stand.
Okay. So then our next question would be, what previous public offices, and this is for Mr. Sykes, what previous public office have you held What were the challenges you faced during that time?
Well, actually, this is the first public office I've held, and nobody ever guessed that I would get elected in the first time, but I've enjoyed it so much, I would like to do it a second time, and that depends on all of you out here. But I think I've done a pretty good job. I've really been very supportive of all the communities that I've got. There's 9 active community councils, and I grew up in a small town, and I get the community process. I understand the process of what the government is. And so this is my first run at it, and I'm 66 years old.
Okay, Mr. Endel.
My first public office, I guess, where I was elected, if you count community council as public office, that would be it. And I was elected by a vast majority, along with 4 other of my friends. And you know, I guess one thing I can cover in this question is where I. I think I already talked about the issues that were in our community council. So what I can talk about is where I stand in other areas. And one way is, you know, the Republican Party supports me. The districts 7, 11, 9, and 12 all have endorsed me in Alaska Right to Life. So that kind of tells you a little bit about where I stand on certain issues.
Okay. The next question is for Mr. N.
Rebuttal.
You.
Sure.
Sorry. Go ahead.
I presided over 2 community councils, and I chaired the comp plan after we created the community council in Chase, and that was just a marvelous, marvelous experience. It really was. The thing I really liked about this particular office is that it is nonpartisan. Our whether it's the bad road or access to the neighborhood, these are not liberal or conservative problems. They're everybody's problems. And that's what we do, is we solve problems. And I do not want to get mixed up in the toxic politics of Juneau or the toxic politics of Washington, D.C., and that's what I'll do for the next 3 years if you have me back.
Okay, Mr. Endel, it's your turn again. In your public roles, past and present, what have you done or are you doing to strengthen the road from Palmer to Glacier View, especially in terms of river erosion and the dangers of rock slides and road collapse?
As far as river erosion, one of the biggest things that's happening right now is in the Butte, and the Butte area is having some issues, as well as Sutton had had issues before and still has issues with river eroding. And I've contacted legislators and other people that will probably be in the legislature, as well as gravel people. And I'm looking to see how we can actually mine the gravel out of the river. And I know, and I'll follow up with rebuttal.
Mr. Sykes.
Well, for about the past 2.5 years that I've been dealing with this issue, I've talked to everybody, legislators, locals who have a lot of great ideas. I've gone to Washington, D.C. and spoken with all of our congressional delegation, all 3 of our members. And my campaign has been basically the DOT will defend the highway, but we need to spend the same amount of money or less and defend people and the highway. And this is exactly what's going on in Butte. I've been living at the river for the past 2.5 weeks. They still go back to defending the right-of-way. And if they just will take the next 500 feet and connect it to where the river could rush through for 5 feet of elevation and cause a massive flood, we could actually prevent that for the same amount of money that they're planning to spend going straight along the road and leaving that open to erosion and washing out the road anyway. And people get it. They say it's a great idea, but we're not there yet. And this is the kind of issue that I think is going to bring it to the fore.
Mr. Endel?
My opponent and the Assembly both know that there is a study that's already been done and it's proven viable that we can mine gravel out of this river. And I believe the borough manager has it. And as I was speaking to the mayor, Mayor DeVilbiss, he had said that there was about a $200,000 permit that could be applied for. Now, why the Assembly isn't going and approaching this rather than going to the government asking for funds to pay for people's property and take it away, basically. So I don't understand that.
Okay, we're at question number 12. And this is for Mr. Sykes.
Okay.
Wasilla has not historically supported public planning and is sprawled all over the place. Palmer has more clear planning history and has an area for business, for home, etc. Recently, we fended off DNR from selling land in one of the top 10 scenic highway view sheds in the USA. How do you see the role of the Glacier View community to guide and direct community planning?
Well, I think the Glacier View Community Council is an example of doing things very well. I got a chance to participate in that, and when it came to the platting board, DNR wanted to ram their proposal through after trying to push it for 2 years. Everybody was on the same page, went to the platting board, and told their story very effectively. I looked at the law portion, knowing that the platting board would have to have findings of fact to relate to the findings in the law, and I provided those citations in the ordinance that led them to consider what people said.
Mr. Andel?
So the Glacier View Community Council really did a good job in what by communicating to the community and bringing them in. And that's the point that really needs to be made. When you do planning of any sort, you need to go out into the community and get them involved, not work as a small community council and just do your own thing. And Glacier View Community Council hasn't done that. That's a good thing. Now, you know, in our community council, it was, before I got into it, it was the opposite. And we worked to get the people involved door to door. And I mean, we really worked hard. We had membership of over, over 200 people that came to one of our meetings for our election. So that tells you the amount of effort that we had to put in to get them there and to get them well educated and communicate the ideas that were there. We worked to bring that information out. Now, when my opponent was in his community council, as I talked to leaders of their community council in Lazy Mountain, it was the opposite.
Mr. Sykes, would you like to rebut?
Oh, yes. I don't believe that's true, Mr. Endel, but I think you have to understand the process is it's not the community council that develops the plan, it's the planning team. And the community council is actually what gets to review the work of the planning team. So it's a different process, and it is great to have as many people as you can involved in that process, but it's like most things in politics, not everybody stays involved to go through the planning process, and everything is very important, and land use is what these relate to. So it needs to be a serious long-term discussion.
Okay, we have gone through all 12 questions in a serious amount of time. And I believe Mr. Sykes would be the person to have the first 2-minute closing speech.
You will be given a 15-second warning, so 1 minute, 45 seconds you'll be given a warning, and then at 2 minutes you'll be given the warning.
Should I use a club?
we've got a club, I guess.
Okay.
Go ahead.
My time
Mr.
hasn't
Sykes.
Started, I hope.
Ding!
Thank you so much for inviting me. It really is has been a pleasure and an honor to be supporting all of these communities all the way from South Connect River to Glacier View and Lake Louise for the past 3.5 years. I think I've done a pretty good job. I've been to almost all the community council meetings I could possibly attend. And especially the community has come together. I've supported them, advocated for them, and I think that's a good thing to have as a foundation to build on, because now I actually understand a little bit more of where the borough works. So unless you've got some really good gripe to get rid of me, I think I'd like another chance at 3 years, because this is where the public process is really going to be transparent, because the thing that I've identified, it wasn't just transparency that needed to happen. Transparency didn't invite people into the process, but when we have public hearings that are actually telling people, that the directors of each division justifying their budget and why it costs this or that, I think we'll have a better understanding, and people can say, yes, we can make this more efficient, or we don't need this, or maybe we need more of this. And that is what's going to happen this year, because the state has forced us into it. Although I think we're going to get through the year pretty unscathed, it's time to hear from the public, and I've laid that groundwork, and I look forward to seeing it come to fruit, and I encourage you to consider voting for me. My website is sykesforassembly.com. I've got some propaganda here if anybody needs it. I'd be happy to answer your questions, And it really is. I grew up in a small town of about 250 people, and I really relate to all of the communities I've got in this fairly remote district, and I want to keep doing it for another 3 years. And thanks for the last 2.5. It's really been great. Thank you so much. I really enjoyed getting to know you, and I hope we keep it up.
Mr. Endel, now it's your turn.
First, I want to thank God and ask him to bless this community and bless both me and my opponent here, that he would show forth his strength in both of us and in this community, in Jesus' name. And I want to show forth some differences between me and my opponent here, take this time to do that, because I believe to the core that we are different. We may have some of the same ideas and maybe some of the same outcomes to our goals, but I believe to the core of the way we are is different. And so let's start out with a couple things. On the Issues is a website, ontheissues.org. It'll tell a little bit about my opponent. It doesn't say anything about me yet because I haven't really made many public statements. But I'd encourage you to go there. If you look up Wikipedia and look at my opponent, you'll find out that he brought the Green Party to Alaska. So that's a difference between me and him, because I already stated that I'm endorsed by the Republican Party. And that, you know, I agree with the Republican Party platform. I believe that life begins at conception. I would not have voted for Medicaid expansion. Now my opponent had an opportunity to do that in assembly, and he voted for it. Marijuana, I brought that to Glacier View Community Council already, and I'm not for commercial marijuana, but I'm not against medical marijuana, hemp, you know, so to speak. I'm not against those things. The flood, I talked about the flood, and my approach on it is very different than what my opponents would be. Our way to go about issues is going to be different based on who we are. So I thank my wife for supporting me in all this, and I thank you guys for having me here and us here, and thank you.
Okay, this is the end of the debate here, and I would like to thank each of the candidates, Mr. Sykes on my left and Mr. Endel on the right, and Glacier View School for letting us use the room, Radio Free Palmer for putting us on the record, and especially the residents attending the meeting. This shall be the end of the debate.